Heavenly Father, we come this morning, and this is Your Word, and I am Your servant. Lord, You know my prayers all week. You know the cries of my heart. God, I know Your heart this morning. Now, Lord, I'm asking for Your faithfulness to be revealed, Your greatness. God, I'm just asking, God, that You would reveal Yourself. These are Your people, those that You love. And You are able to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to try to get through chapter 6 and 7. I do want your questions, your comments, but I'm just asking if you'll just give me grace. And then if you say, Pastor Maggie, but we're not having an opportunity, then we will set aside a Sunday for an opportunity. But please, please write your questions down or your comments. They are just as important. In chapter 6, I'm going to read chapter 6 and then we'll read chapter 7 when we get to it. Ezekiel chapter 6. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. And say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I, even I, will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Then your altar shall be desolate, your incense altar shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around the altars. In all your dwelling places the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, your idols may be broken and made to cease, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet I will leave a remnant so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered through the countries. I would highlight that verse and hang on to it. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart which has departed from me, and by their eyes which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. Thus says the Lord God, pound your fist and stamp your feet and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. For they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. He who is far off shall die by the pestilence. He who is near shall fall by the sword, and he who remains and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I spend my fury upon them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when they're slain or among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill, on the mountaintops, under every green tree, and under every thick oak, wherever they offered sweet incense to all their idols. So I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate. Yes, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblah and all their dwelling places. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. It's pretty serious stuff, pretty heavy stuff this morning. God is heavy. He's heavy in His pronouncement of judgment, and He is heavy in the right way in His pronouncement of blessings. And so God is a God who blesses those who submit their lives and are obedient to Him. But He said that His word, He's not spoken in vain. And what God has spoken, He has not spoken in vain. It will not fall to the wayside. It will accomplish what He has set out. When He speaks it, you have to understand He will accomplish His word. In chapter 6 of Ezekiel, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. And if you'll notice, he is to speak or to prophesy against them. And who is he to speak or prophesy against? It says the mountains, the hills, the ravines, and the valleys. God is going to speak to the land because the people are so rebellious. They will not listen. Remember we talked about how Ezekiel was performing the prophetic words in pictures? Where he drew a picture of Jerusalem where he was to lay on his side, he was to shave his head. All of those were pictures for Israel. They were prophetic words for Jerusalem because they no longer would listen to the word of the Lord, so God gave them pictures. And here he's also giving, he is speaking to the land because the people are so rebellious. These are the places where they have erected their idols and performed their abominations. Abominations. So we hear that word so much in Scripture. And I'm sure that that word is probably going to be a key word in the hate speech crime bill, however you word it. You know, where you can't use that word abomination. Yeah. So what were they doing on the hills and the mountains and in the valleys and in the ravines? They had embraced the gods of the nations of the Canaanites. That's what they had done. Remember when God brought them out of Egypt and he said, go in and destroy the people in the land of Canaan? Because they had had over 400 years of grace to turn. But they continued in their abominable practices. And so when God brought the people in, He wanted to cleanse the land of these abominations. He did not want Israel to mix. He'd already told them, he said, do not mix with them. Do not mix. Don't mix anything. Don't do anything like they did. Do not defile the land. The land is so defiled. I want you to cleanse the land. And we think, you know, people, you can't judge God. You're not seeing the whole picture. You're just seeing part of it. You're looking at it with a human eye. You got to look at it with a spiritual eye and begin to see things as God sees things. God is holy. This is unholy. God is righteous. This is not right. But they defiled themselves. They defiled the land is what the Lord is talking about here. And we're going to see later that they defiled the temple. And God is going to cleanse the land of the people and their sins. Remember that blood had to be shed for the remission of sin. Who did the land belong to? The land belonged to the Lord. They were allowed to live there and enjoy the fruit of the land. But I want you to turn back real quick so that you can see the long suffering of God. Turn to Leviticus chapter 18. We need to turn to Leviticus chapter 18. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. This is when he brought them out of Egypt. The whole nation of Israel. Now, they were there. They were there for the giving of the law. They are not ignorant to what is happening. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan where I am bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinance to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Now look at verses 21 through 30. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it as it vomited out the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore you shall keep my ordinances so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God. Now turn to Leviticus 25, verse 23. So that you understand that they understood. The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. The land belonged to God. And the Canaanites, they had defiled the land, they had defiled themselves. God said, do not do what they have done. I have brought you here to cleanse the land, and I do not want you to take in their actions. I don't want you to belong to them. This land belongs to me. But I'm going to let you live here. I'm going to let you enjoy it. And here we see in chapter 6 and chapter 7 that God is going to use idol worshipers to bring judgment on His own people. We think that, I don't know what we think as Christians. I know that we're no different than Israel. I know that things are happening now that are no different than what happened then. We think that we come to church and, well, we don't have any idols erected in our church, and we've been and visited other churches and they don't do things like we do, but we don't see any idols erected in the church anywhere. It is the things that hold your heart. It is the things that hold your heart. That's what it was with Israel. God did not reign in their heart. It was other things that reigned in their heart. What is it that reigns in the heart of the church today? Does the Lord Jesus Christ, is He the one that we come here to worship on Sunday mornings? Who is it that we come here for? Why do we come here? Do we come here because we like to sing? Do we come here? There are people who actually like to hear preaching, but they never change. They love to gain knowledge for knowledge's sake, but the Word never pierces the heart to work a change. They only gain knowledge to recite and to argue. People come just to have friends. People come when they begin to have children because they want to raise their children around people who are maybe morally, they think that are morally fit. They do not come because they want to hear the Word, because they want their life to change. They want to hear about the Holy God that saved them. Israel was in covenant with God. All of these things God did not tell Moses, and Moses just kept it a secret. Moses shared everything with the people, and the people said yes and amen to every blessing that God would pour forth. And Moses shared with them every curse for disobedience, and they said yes and amen. I may repeat this in my notes later on, but I'm getting ahead of myself. When they came out of Egypt, remember, they went in as a family, but they came out as a nation. And when they came out, God told Moses, He said, you bring them back to this mountain. Where God revealed Himself, He said, you bring them back to this mountain. And there was a wedding ceremony. There was a wedding ceremony. That is why He always compares Israel and their behavior to adultery. Because they became His wife there. They said, yes. When you marry and you stand before everyone, God and all your family and friends, and someone says, do you? And you say, yes. Do you? And you say, yes. God said, do you? And they said, yes. And they became the wife of God at that marriage ceremony. And God is a jealous God for those that belong to Him, and especially of His wife. I was hearing, and I'm not in replacement theology. I don't believe in that, that Israel has been replaced. But we are under the New Testament, yes. I'm not trying to put you under the law. The law has not ceased. It is good. It's perfect. But we are covenant people because we're grafted in. We're grafted in, so you got to realize that we are in covenant with God. I heard a preacher say, well, we're not in covenant. God's only speaking to Israel because they are His covenant people. Well, then I'm thinking, then what is Paul talking about when he says that we're grafted in? We are covenant people. God is serious about a covenant. And I don't know how Duke would feel if Janie was to meet her neighbor and she took a shine to him and she just would go out every night to be with him and leave Duke home to continue to provide a home, to continue to provide everything that a husband is supposed to provide. And she would just go out and be and give all of her love and affections and things that Duke was giving her. Then she would just start to give those things to this man who was next door. Duke would give her finances to buy groceries. And she would say, oh, but I'm going to give them to my lover. And Duke would give her rings. And she would say, oh, but these would look so nice on my lover. So she gives them to her lover. And then he buys her beautiful clothes. And she says, I'm going to wear these for my lover. I think Duke would be jealous. I don't know Duke that well. I think Duke would be jealous. I think it would be in Duke's heart to probably go over and do away with that man. Well, the law prohibits that. But God's law does not prohibit him from doing away with those who commit adultery. That's why God hates it. He so hates it because he is identified with it. He hates it. Do you understand? I want to use a strong word with you. I want you to understand how God feels about you. When you commit adultery, when I say you, I'm not excluding me. And we think that, you know, well, I'm a Christian. And if God needs to deal with me, then it'll be just be me and God. Well, if you confess your sin to God, it'll be you and God. If you continue to harbor that sin and practice that sin and not listen to the word of the Lord, God will bring a heathen. God will bring someone who is practicing the sin that you are hiding and you will not give him. He'll bring them to bring correction on you. And that's exactly what he did with the Babylonians. He brought in these idol worshippers to deal with these idol worshippers. And their idols are going to be destroyed, as they will be. Their practice is such an abomination to the Lord that they will not even be buried. Oh my goodness, when someone dies, we want to have a funeral, we want to have a memorial service, we want to remember them. But let me tell you what, they are such a stench in the nostrils of God that He is going to destroy their idols, the thing that they love, the thing that they have committed adultery with, and He is going to destroy them in front of their idols. As they're worshiping, giving their praise, giving their love to another lover, God will slay them and He will not even allow them the honor of being buried because they have so dishonored God. They have so dishonored God. This is a serious thing that I want you to take to heart. Ezekiel is giving these two words to the captives, and therefore all of Israel. He gives this word around 6 years before any of this happens. There have been two deportations, and Ezekiel was part of the second one. So 6 years before anything happens. Word like this comes and we hear it today and we kind of get a sober thought and kind of get a little rod up our backbone and we sit up and we take notice. We think on it. Well, it doesn't happen tomorrow. It doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen in a month. It doesn't happen in 3 months. It doesn't happen in a year. So we can slide back. We tend to slide back. That's what we do. Folks, listen, I am not standing up here going like this at you. I'm telling you what our weakness is. We tend to slide back because it didn't happen. We tend to get lazy because it didn't happen. We tend to continue to do things the way we've always done because it didn't happen. And we tend to say, well, the messenger is a liar. That didn't happen. God's not coming. He's been saying that. Oh, judgment's not coming. In Noah's day, remember, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And he said, judgment is coming, folks. It is a sure thing. God has already told me. Do you see this ark? This ark is a judgment against you. This ark is a judgment against the way you are worshiping. This ark is a judgment against your lifestyle. This ark right here is a judgment. They say, well, it didn't happen. Hey, Noah, where's the rain? That thing you call rain. Where's the water, Noah? Ezekiel tells them, and they're like, oh, Ezekiel, where's it at, Ezekiel? We know our God. You're not the only one who knows God. You think you're the only one who knows God? You think God would speak to His people like that? Oh no, we're going back. We're going back. You are a liar. God would not do that to His people. God will do that to those who have called upon His name, who turn around and have other lovers. God will do that. He did that then. And folks, He's going to do it again. But it is going to be with fire this time. His anger is filling up. His patience is running out. Where are we at today? Do we continue with our pet sins? I called them last week. They're not pets. Do you understand? They are demons driving us away from God and straight to hell. Judgment is prepared, and it will come forth. God does not speak a word and then cast it to the ground. If preachers preach judgment is coming, and people in America still live much as they have always, they do not believe the message. I know that this is serious. God is serious. He is not Joel Osteen's church. He is not. He is not. That man has the influence, and he is leading a multitude astray. He has influence over the airwaves, and he is leading multitudes astray. He is making them sons of perdition. He is heaping hot coals upon their head. This Joel Osteen will answer before the Lord because he will not stand for God. He's not by himself. Rick Warren, he will answer to God. Brian McLaren. All of these. They lead multitudes astray. It's only the few that will listen to God. This emergent church that's coming in is a snare and a trap from the pit of hell. It is to ensnare you, to ensnare your emotions and your feelings, lead you astray and trap you that you cannot get out. Michael W. Smith is part of it. Last week I thought I got my names mixed up, but I didn't. David Crowder is a part of it too. So I just warn you, do not follow those who are leading to hell. Do not follow those who will lead you astray. In America, we think that we're such a good place, a good country. God bless America. God does not bless the murder of innocent lives. We murder on a daily basis here. And not only that, we supply murder for the whole world. We teach other nations how to murder. We promote pornography and abominations in film and video, and we distribute more than any nation in the world. Do you think God has something against this nation? When I am speaking, listen to me. If your heart is right with God, this message does not apply to you except that we are living in this time. Do you know that when Noah began to preach that judgment was coming, there were people who were dying who never saw it happen. But there was a generation of people who saw it come to pass. When the word that Jesus was coming, there was a Messiah coming, generation after generation was born and died, born and died, born and died, and the Savior had not come. And then there was a generation that was born and did not die until the Savior came. Now, for over 2,000 years, men and women have been preaching about the return of Jesus. There's been generation born and died, born and died, born and died. But there will be a generation that He will return in. Is it this generation? I don't know. We need to be sober. We need to be God-fearing. We need to heed the message, the word of the Lord. There are those here in America that do not believe the message. With Israel, when Jeremiah was preaching and Isaiah was preaching and when the prophets were preaching to them, they don't want to hear it. Because things were good. There was prosperity. Their families were healthy and there was no war. Things were good, you know, and they could go to the synagogue as they pleased. They could go to the temple. And their priests were still there. They were still offering the sacrifices. Everything was still the same. And so they were able to continue and to do business as usual. And so then you have this person there preaching, and he's telling them that God is going to judge them. And they're like, well, we're not bad. We're God's people. We're in covenant with God. God excuses what we do. He looks over. Have you seen the nations over here? Have you seen what they do? Have you seen the nations over here? And then they just go right up on the mountain. And there are the fertility gods. There's Baal and there's Ashtoreth. And part of the Canaanite belief was that Baal and Ashtoreth would come together and know each other. And that would produce fertility in the land. But part of the worship, the Canaanite worship, was before these two gods, is that men and women would come together and they would know each other. There were prostitutes there for the men to come and know. And then they could just come to the mountains where these gods were set up, where these idols were set up, and the men could come and they would say, honey, I'm going to church today. And honey would say, okay, you go to church. And honey would just go to the market and she would just buy whatever was needed. And her sweetheart, he would go up on the mountain, or he would go up on the hill where the idols were, where the temple prostitutes were, and he would know them. And then he'd just get up, he'd be so excited because his fields were going to produce a great crop that year because he had worshipped this God. Not only that, but his sheep, oh, he would have great sheep and he would have lots of wool, and he would be able to come home to honey and get honey anything that honey needed. And he just dust himself off and he would go home. This is what they were doing. This is what they were doing. This is how disgusting it was. But up on the mountains and in Jerusalem, there was the temple. And they could offer their sacrifice to the living God. They dust themselves off from the temple prostitute. They'd go in. Remember, women weren't allowed, but only so far. So here are the women who know what their husbands are doing. Full cooperation. They're not ignorant. And you're not ignorant to what your husband does or what your wife does. So you don't lie to yourself. And then you come to church in full cooperation, like Ananias and Sapphira. Let's get this life straight. Let's offer it up to God. America does that. So all these things were going on, and you've got somebody like Jeremiah saying, they're going to come, and if you do not surrender, you're going to be slaughtered. Well, we still have our king on the throne, and we still have our priests, and we still have our elders, and we're still offering the sacrifices. And so then the priest says, well, this Jeremiah, he's a lunatic. He is against God, and he's against God's people. He's against this man. He is a false prophet. Don't listen to him. Phew, I'm glad you said that. Makes me feel better. But there's just a... there's a look. And you go outside and you hear it again. And you just, you know, honey and sweetheart go home and they talk this thing over. And the kids are like, oh, this man, do you hear him, Dad? Mom, do you hear him? Oh, don't listen to him. It's not going to happen. It's not how God deals with his people. God doesn't do that. He's a loving God. He is a loving God, but he is a holy God. In America, we have our own God that we have invented. We have our own God. Don't kid yourself. Church has their own God they've erected. We're liars and murderers and thieves. We come to church, put on our Sunday best. We're prostitutes, harlots, whores. We do detestable things. We lead our own children in detestable ways. We show them the ways of the world. We say, well, we live in the real world. This is not the real world. And the prince of this world wants to take you to hell. And he wants to take your children. If you don't think he wants to take your children, wait a few years. When they're small, I'm telling you, this is it. You've got your hands on them, you're guiding them, and you can guide everything. They start getting a little older. You don't have the influence. Their friends have the influence. The TV has the influence. The music has the influence. The world has the influence. And then so you just try to begin. Then you pull a strong arm. You begin to get strong armed with them, and you say, you will do this. And inside they say, I will not do this. I'll find God myself, if there is a God. Or I'll serve God like you do. I'll compromise. I'll compromise. Because if you compromise, you're not going to have any strife or struggles in your family. I'm just telling you right now. You compromise, you're not going to have it. You take a stand for the Lord, and all hell's going to break loose against you and your family. Don't take a stand for the Lord. You know I'm lying. Take a stand for the Lord. And so we have our own gods. And we try to mix it. We mix it in song where you see men and women get up and they sing these songs and women are up with their bodies revealed. Let me tell you something. Cover your body up when you come in the house of the Lord. Nobody needs to be looking at it. It belongs to your husband. If you're married, if you're not married, it needs to be saved for your husband. And don't get up on the stage and gyrate. Mark and I went to a service and went to hear an evangelist, and there was the praise and worship team and a couple of heavy-chested women up there, and their blouses were cut, and they were bouncing, and they were gyrating. And I thought, this does not honor God. And the men were up there gyrating their hips. That does not honor God. And the praise and worship leader, it was all about him. You notice what God's done with our praise and worship leader? Hit her. Can't even see her face. Praise the Lord. So you can put your eyes on God. It would be better if you put a sack over you and came to church. Do you realize that? You don't come to church to be seen. You come to see God, meet with God. I know that these are sobering words. But I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to say something to me. I want you to respond. Is there any other nation that you can think of that has ever been blessed like America has other than Israel? How much more accountable are we going to be? We have been blessed. We have been blessed with prosperity. We have been blessed with education. We have been blessed with leaders. We are blessed. We were blessed as a nation that we were looked up to. People turned to us. And we helped. This is for us to learn from. Paul said, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Paul also said, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. We're to run from sin and run to God. I told you that you should highlight verse 8. You need to remember that God always has a remnant. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was listening to J. Vernon McGee, and we have some of his commentaries in the bookstore, and we have his commentaries, and I don't know if you've ever heard him. He's from Texas, and he says, my beloved, he's passed away, but the studies are still here, and his sermons, they still, I don't know if they still do them on the radio, but you can hear them on the internet. And he said that he was preaching a series of sermons, and he was talking about judgment. He said he had a man come to him and told him, said, I don't want to hear this kind of sermon anymore. He's a prominent man in the church, prominent giver, tither in the church. Man told J. Vernon McGee, he said, I don't want to hear this anymore. You stop preaching this way. This is not what people come to hear. So J. Vernon McGee continued. Man left the church. Well, he was a businessman. It was exposed in the news why he left. It didn't say, oh, so-and-so left the church because of J. Vernon McGee's preaching. No, it came out that he was dishonest in his business practice. He would not heed God. He would not heed the voice of the Lord. He continued in his wickedness. He couldn't listen to it. And there was a woman as he was preaching. She came up to him and she said, oh, no, no, no. I can't listen to this. You make me feel uncomfortable. I don't like this. You're causing me to be afraid. I don't come to church for that. I come to church because I want to feel good. He continued to preach as the Lord had led. She left the church. And she went to I told Mark, I said, I know it wasn't, but she probably went to Joel Osteen's church. This was before Joel Osteen, but I'm saying that is the kind of church that she went to. And then she eventually wound up in a cult. This is what happens. This is what happens. Those who will listen to the Lord, God has a remnant. Let me tell you what you're going to escape. If you put your trust in the Lord, every day you keep trusting the Lord, you will escape the sword, you will escape the famine, and you will escape the pestilence. The judgment will fall. But if God has to take you and put you in a refugee camp, if God has to take you and put you in a prison to take care of you, He will take care of you. Let me tell you something. God is faithful to His people. But God is first of all faithful to His Word. And God told Ezekiel, He said, take some of those and bind them. Remember, put them right here close to you and you keep them there. It's a promise. That is for us today. See, just not the judgments, just not these things that we're hearing that are just striking fear in our heart, but there is hope in the fact that God has the few and they're bound right here in the priest band. He has them. God has me. If God did not have me, I could not stand here. When I read this, I would run and I would say, follow me, mountain. But God has me. And if you don't know that God has you, that's something you need to work out today. If there is something within you that says, I don't really know if I'm saved. I know that I'm doing this wrong. I know that I am an enemy of God. Get right with God today. Don't even leave here. Give everything to Him. I told you that they were adulterers and how they had been married to Jehovah at Sinai. We know that Hosea was a picture of that. It's time. I hate to just cut this off right in the middle. But I want to stop now. I don't want to go over and people are trying to come in. But we're going to stop and we will pick this up next week. Going to be as serious next week as it is this week. So I pray that none of you will be sick and have a sore throat next week and can't come. That we can hear what God has for us. Jeff, you can stop the